Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
Every one of us are recipients of the grace of God, and we must embrace that. Our imperfection and His stunning perfection. But in that stunning perfection, He loves us in our imperfection, and His grace meets us at our point of need. Welcome to the house of the Lord. It's good to have Pastor Anthony and Sister Erica and family here. They're visiting from Baltimore, and they left us a little over 2 years ago to plant a work in the inner city of Baltimore. And I asked him this morning early, I said, do you believe in providence? Because last year, when he was supposed to preach, there was COVID. And then it snowed today. So here we are, though. Aren't you glad we're having church? And listen to the word of God. Thank you for supporting them. I know several of you do on a regular basis.
God bless you all. Welcome to the house of God. You can be seated. It's a privilege to be here today. This is my hometown, and I'm so thankful to see all of you. I see a lot of wonderful faces that were around a long time ago and are still here, and a lot of new faces, and that's exciting as well. So I'm privileged to be here today, and it's a privilege to be a part of the kingdom of God. Aren't you glad that you can be a part of the kingdom of God? I don't have any prepared speeches, but I did want to maybe give you a quick little update about what's happening in Baltimore, because I think I'd get in trouble if I didn't. And so just a little bit of what's going on in Baltimore. So you know that I was here in 2019 is when we left. And this is actually going to tie in. What I'm going to preach today is going to tie into my life story. But, you know, nothing went the way we planned it, did it? Nothing went the way we planned it, with me even leaving Portland and God calling me to Baltimore. And then I get to Baltimore, and it's a different world. And the inner city of Baltimore is the worst conditions I've ever seen. I don't think most people believe that America has places like inner city Baltimore. So we end up in Baltimore, and we're walking the streets and praying, and COVID hits. So now we have another unplanned obstacle. Well, so during 2020, we walked the streets every Sunday and would just pray with people. And we didn't do any kind of church services. We just walked the streets and prayed with people. We had one person receive the Holy Ghost on the street that I didn't even get to lay my hands on, because God is drawing people by His Spirit. And then 2021 comes, and God says it's time to get ready, but it's not going to happen in your timing. And so I'm a part of Abundant Life is helping us with this church plant as a daughter work. And so we had, by this time, there's about five people that are coming every Sunday with me and Sister Erica out on the streets to pray with people. And so we started gathering in our home on Thursday nights, and I was teaching them and trying to put into them the DNA of what the church is supposed to be, and I'm teaching Bible studies, and God's working miracles, but there's no church building, there's no nothing, and God even told me, you can look, but you're not going to find a church building, and so I did what any good person does. They do their due diligence, and you call 50 churches in the area trying to rent a building, and nothing happens. happens. But in the process of this, God was orchestrating His design, and so we got together and we decided in the summer we're going to start having church services out on the streets in Penn North, which is like it's the epicenter of the drug culture of Baltimore. And that's where we've been going and walking and praying. And so during this time, an apostolic man that had started a church and had a little row home that he'd made into a church, God told him to shut down his church and join Antioch North, which is another apostolic church. And that's how we found out about this building that we're in now. In August, we started having church services on Sundays. But I'm so thankful for what God's doing, because in those first two services, we did two services outdoors, and there's a woman and her children that are still coming today that came to that outdoor service, and they would have never found us any other way. And we baptized 7 in the last 4 months, and we're thankful for that. And we got an average of 20 people coming to church on any given service, and we're thankful for what God is doing. And so that's just a quick update of what God's doing. There's a lot of intricate things about different people that I could tell you that are exciting, but that's in a nutshell where God has taken us. And so today I want to preach to you. It may be not as high fast paced as sometimes I am, but I really know, like, I wanted to know what God wants me to speak. And when I've got a few things that I feel like God's been really putting into my spirit over the last year that really are birthed in me, and God told me to do the one that's the least exciting. And so here we are. And I'm going to preach to you about brokenness. Brokenness. I'll ask you a rhetorical question that I know a little bit about a little bit of the people here, and a lot I don't know about a lot of you. But I'll ask you the rhetorical question. Did anybody have a rough year this year? I don't think that we really need to even say a word, and we know that most of us have, but we don't face the same struggles, all of us. But today, I just feel like God wants to talk to us about brokenness. You know, I'm supposed to have all the answers for whatever God puts me into. And everything's supposed to fit in a checklist of what I got to do. And if I do these steps, then I can expect this result. And if I go here, then and I get this, you know, line items of what I'm going to do and who I'm going to find and what I'm going to do for a job, right? Or look at you, put your own life into this comment here of what I'm saying. But we all want plans, and God is really working at this hour. And I believe with all my heart that if there's anything that the church needs to learn, is they need to learn brokenness. We don't do good with brokenness. I don't do good with brokenness. We do good with victory. We do good with shouting. We do good with jumping up and down and being excited. And there's a good place for that. And I'm not saying that that's not in the will of God. But we don't do good as human beings with brokenness and hurt. We don't do good with rough times. And as a church, God is wanting to transition us into a place where we embrace brokenness, that we would embrace a place of vulnerability, a place where we don't have the answers, where we're not comfortable, where we might even be in pain. But when we can get to that place, it's going to be the place where God does His best work, where God shines with His glory like He will not and cannot shine any other way except through brokenness. When you look at the church of the New Testament, it was a broken church. It was a church of suffering. You find throughout the epistles, the epistles are written to churches in struggle, churches without answers, churches being persecuted, churches with sickness and with misunderstandings and even ugly sins that they hadn't figured out how to lay on an altar yet. But God worked in a mighty way in the New Testament church. We're an apostolic church, aren't we? We're a Pentecostal in experience church, aren't we? Well, an apostolic church knows how to be broken and knows how to go through suffering and see God do something where we cannot do anything. We are made to be broken as a church. John chapter number 15, verse number 5 through 8. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Jesus lays out the groundwork and says to his disciples that I am the vine and you're the branches, and without me you can do nothing. Do we believe that as a church? I say I believe it, but there's a lot of times in my life where I don't live that. I don't live that I can't do it without Jesus. I get his principles of his word and I put them into my life, and now I've got the plug-in formula for whatever I want and whatever I think needs to happen in my life. But Jesus was saying that the church can do nothing without him. Do you realize that brokenness is a place of power and purpose? Think of a horse and all of the power of that horse and all of the amazing abilities of that horse. But what do they call it when they take that horse and they give it make it into alignment with a purpose and they get it into a place where it can be fruitful? They call it breaking the horse. There has to be a breaking of that horse's desire and will to just go its own direction and go its own will and go its own way. And Jesus is calling us as the church. He's calling unbelievers to him and saying, would you allow me to break you? Would you allow me to get my hands on your life and begin to influence your life and begin to speak into your life? Things that cause you to have to break yourself, that allow you or put you in a place where you no longer can hold the pieces of your life in your own hands and feel confident that you're going to be what I meant you to be. But you realize that really, honestly, truly, you can do nothing without me. That is the call of God for my life and your life. If I can't do anything by myself. And that's what God's been teaching me over the last 3.5 years, is he's been telling me that I can do nothing without him. And there's got to be a breaking that happens in my life, a place of brokenness, a place where I don't any longer hold the illusion in my own mind that I've got this, that I've got this. I mean, how many times has somebody affected your life in a way that puts you on the ropes and affected your life in a way that you no longer have the steering wheel of your life? And when that happens, we get all riled up naturally as humanity, and we get angry, or we sulk, or we run, or we fight. But in all of that, we've got to understand that God is calling you in that. That when you reach a place where you can't handle your family anymore, when you reach a place where you can't handle your finances anymore, when the church gets to a place where they realize Portland is bigger than we can handle on our own, that is when God is allowed to step in, and He's allowed to show up and tell us what is meant to be, and tell us where to go and what to say. And no longer are we vulnerable in the way that we were. We're just vulnerable before God. And in that place of vulnerability, God can shine through your life and my life. There's got to be a place of brokenness. Can I be honest with you? You all know where I live. You know, because you live here now. You can look at me right now, and I'm going to say the things that make us uncomfortable. I'm a white guy from the West Coast, and I walk into West Baltimore where I might see two white faces all day, and I'm dealing with and ministering to guys that have been on the corner selling drugs openly, and they've been abused as kids, and they're angry, and they've been in dead-end lives with nobody to help them. Do you really think that I have the answers? I don't. I can tell you Jesus is the answer, but that's a cop-out. We all know that for me to just say Jesus is the answer doesn't cut it. There's got to be some boots on the ground. There's got to be words come out of my mouth at some point. There's got to be knowing where to go and when to go. But I'm telling you, I don't have a plan. God's given me some direction, yes. He's given me some, like, way out in the distance. This is where I'm taking you. But I don't know where my next step is, if I could be honest with you. And that's uncomfortable for any human being, and especially somebody that's supposed to be the pastor and supposed to be a church planter. But I'm telling you that I have found out that I'm right where God wants me. And you are right where God wants you when you are broken, when you don't have the answers, when we don't know the next step, but we know the one who's leading us. We're right where God wants us to be. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verses 20 through 23. Peter is writing, and he says, "For what glory is it if ye being buffeted," I'm going to read it in the New King James because I'm not sophisticated. And he says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered." This is verse 21. Sorry. "Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." Paul says, you are called to follow in the steps of Jesus. And he speaks of the suffering of Jesus. Are we to share in his glory? Yes. But what brought the glory for Jesus was his suffering. And what's going to bring the glory into your life is suffering. It's brokenness. is being willing to be broken and vulnerable. Jesus said in John 5, 19 through 21, Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will." Jesus' ministry was a ministry of brokenness and dependency on the Spirit of God. His disciples were yet to completely grasp who was standing in front of them. They didn't quite understand that this was God robed in flesh, that God himself submitted himself to the place of vulnerability of humanity, his own creation, to be robed in flesh. And when they were looking at Jesus and seeing his flesh, seeing him standing there as just an average looking man, that Jesus was saying, what you're looking at right now can do nothing of itself. This flesh that you're looking at can do nothing of itself. It can only do what the Spirit, what the Father puts into him to do. What God himself does could only come through Jesus Christ if that flesh surrendered and was dependent on Jesus or on God. There had to be that. It's that miracle of how that God would confine himself to all the limitations of humanity. Can you imagine the creator of the universe had to struggle to make a fire? The one that spoke and said, "Let there be light," and there was light, is now put himself in the confines of human form and had to work to rub sticks together or get flint to make a fire and had to get dust on his feet when he walked the streets. That's the God we serve. But Jesus was demonstrating something to us. We know that the whole process brought us salvation, but Jesus walked on this earth for 33 years. Why? So that he could reveal that any of humanity that wanted the design of God in their life could only come to that place under the surrender to the Spirit of God and a place of dependency on him. Jesus had to be in prayer constantly so that he would have the direction of the Spirit, that he could walk through the streets and he could heal and cast out devils. There had to be a flesh that was dependent on what was unseen. And as a church, as a believer, as a disciple of Jesus, I can't get to this idea that because I've cleaned up my life and God filled me with his Spirit and I'm on a pew and I'm clean today, that when I walk out, my cleanliness and my rule keeping and my formula making is sufficient for the design that God wants in our lives. And when we receive frustrations and when we have struggles in our lives and people abuse us or people mistreat us, you can choose if you're going to be unbroken in that. We all do it. I've done it. They're not going to break me because how dare they have power over me. Well, I've got a suggestion for you. Don't let them break you, but let the King of Kings break you. Would you come to Jesus and let him break you in his own hands and hold all the broken pieces of your life and the tender God of heaven holding you in your brokenness and your vulnerability and all of your frustration, and then God can shine through the work of your life. Jesus had to suffer for there to be salvation. Do you think that without suffering, your family's going to know Jesus? Do you think that without inconvenience, the world that's out there that might notice the sign as they pass 205 occasionally is going to hear the voice of God unless a broken vessel allows the word of God to flow through them, allows the spirit of God to flow through them? But it's only through brokenness we're called to follow in his steps. Isaiah 53 verses 4 through 6, one of the most beautiful chapters in the Word of God about the power of the cross and the wonder of what Jesus did. And this is how it describes our Lord and Savior, the mighty God, right? In Isaiah 9, he says, unto us a child is born, right? Unto us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He was the mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And yet in 53 of Isaiah, it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The peace that you need, the forgiveness you need, the cleansing you need, it came through brokenness. It came through pressure. It came through misunderstanding. It came through contempt of other people. It came from angry people, self-righteous people, evil people. Down the line it goes. Any iniquity that you could find on the face of the earth, there was a heart with some of that in it that had its hand in abusing Christ. And yet it was through that brokenness that you and I have the hope of life. We were like sheep that were gone astray. We were lost. We were confused. But what Jesus did by putting that iniquity on himself is he made that way of escape, that hope that we preach of so surely, so excitedly, so adamantly. It came through brokenness. It came through misunderstanding. And as the church, what God is trying to do, you can look at any situation that you are facing, and I can guarantee you that there's a desire of Christ to allow you or to compel you to be broken in that place. To be in that place where you are no longer the one in the pilot seat, and you're okay with that. Most of us really aren't in the pilot seat, but we're not okay with that. That's the problem. I'm not okay with that. And there's got to be something shift in us that we are okay with not having the answers. And we're okay with our programs not working quite right, but yet us just trusting in Jesus and obeying his next step. We've got to learn that the pain that you face is an opportunity. It doesn't get your eyes off of the abuser and get your eyes on the Father and understand that he works things for his good, that he works it for his purpose. It doesn't even matter the intent of the person that abuses you. It doesn't matter if it doesn't matter what kind of conspiracy you think is behind what you're facing in your life and what's happening with COVID and what's
what's happening with the political things. It doesn't even matter what's behind it, because there's a God that's above it. And there's got to be something in us that we are broken enough to no longer try to be the one that makes it all work out, when we've got a God that is from beginning to end, the first, the last, the everlasting Father, the increase of His government, there shall be no end, the scripture says. We've got a God that is eternal, that is immortal, the only wise God, and He gives glory, and He deserves glory. And so we've got to allow ourselves to be broken to the place where I no longer think that I'm going to fix it by being bent out of shape about what's going on, or I'm going to fix it in the next election, or I'm gonna fix it by making the election go the same way as last time because I'm that person. It doesn't matter. We've got to be broken as a church to where we no longer think that we're the ones that are going to make it happen. We have a God that is saying, would you allow yourself to be broken? What kind of physical ailments have you been facing in your life? I'm here to tell you that there's beauty in suffering. And I know that that's the rudest thing I could say today, is that there's beauty in your suffering. But it's the truest thing I could say. And I mean it with compassion. Passion, because I don't wish the pain on you, but I'm telling you that that pain can be a place that draws you into His presence. You know that there can become we can find a comfort in that weakness, because we start realizing that that weakness is what causes me to get near to the God that I love. That disappointment of that family member that is just totally astray, and you love them and you pray and you expect, and we still expect that one day they're going to find their way to the place of the cross again. I'm telling you that that's the will of God, but it's also the will of God that in this painful time where you cannot convince your family member to go to Christ, that you would allow their stubbornness to convince you to go to Christ. How do you think that the scriptures talks about, how did Joseph say, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good? Because there was a purpose through the pain. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of you. Listen to that. We have the treasure. This is the treasure of the Spirit of God and the gospel and the hope of all the truth of God. It's inside of us like in a clay pot. And what is it for? That the power may be of God and not of us. That's why we have fragile lives. It's because God is the one that it's all about. And He's wanting this life to reflect Him in your life, to reflect Him and mine, in a way that out of that reflection comes a draw of the Spirit to draw men and women and children into His presence. That's why we're weak, is because God wants His shining to come through it. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifest manifest in our mortal flesh, so that death is working in us, but life in you. Does that sound like the MO of the church, always bearing in our bodies the marks of the Lord Jesus? That puts me on the spotlight to realize that I'm telling you, I'm a broken man, but I want to be more broken, because I want it to be that everything in my life does nothing but shout of who Jesus is. And my financial security doesn't shout of who Jesus is as much as me being dependent on him for my finances. I think of Mark chapter 14 when the woman came and she had that alabaster box to anoint Jesus. And when she came in, the scripture says that she broke the alabaster box so that the ointment could go onto Jesus' head. Can the anointing and the glory and the honor of my life really flow if I'm not broken? I don't think it can. I think I inhibit it if I don't allow my life to be broken. I've alluded to it, but brokenness is not comfortable. But actually, there's a book that I gave to Sister Precious, which I shouldn't maybe not do this very often, but I gave her a book I'd never read that was on my shelf because she was just hungry for these books on prayer, and it was called The Forgotten Dimension of Prayer or something, but it was brokenness, the forgotten. And when she came back to me, she just told me how much it had just challenged her, and like, so I had to read it myself, and I read it, and the book is really about coming to the place where you do not trust in yourself, where you don't depend on yourself, and that's where power comes, is in brokenness, where I no longer am the one that controls the situation. I'm no longer the one that holds in my own mind the control of the situation. We know honestly that none of us can really control very much in our own lives, but yet we buy the lie that we can. And so in that book, it challenged me, and it says, I challenge you to pray to be broken, to ask God to be broken. What's happened in your life in the last year that you have to choose if it's going to break you or not? Or if you're going to not let it break you? Now, what would happen if you were to ask God to break you? Well, God knows the end from the beginning, but this was just before the call of God to go to Baltimore. So now I'm going to talk about the elephant in the room, because I just feel like if we're all going through this, that I feel like God wants us to go through it together in the way that he wants us to. And so God called me to Baltimore, and you all have your own experience of what that made you feel like if you were around when I was here. You might have been the one that was excited but didn't want to tell anybody, or you might have been the angry one, or you might have been the sad one, or you might have been the confused one or the frustrated one. But I can tell you, I was all of them except excited. And God began in this process to challenged me that I had to let go of what I thought was going to be and what should be and what others thought should be, because I had to learn in this process that God's design was what mattered most, and that if I had His voice calling me and drawing me to live a certain way, and if I had the voice of God that would give me one step to take, and perhaps at times from His grace and blessing, a big picture that was a million miles away. But if I had enough of His voice speaking to hear one step of direction in my life, that would be more comforting and more important to me than the praise of men and the understanding of my own mind. And whether I disappointed the whole world, and by doing that, I disappointed myself. And God had to break me in this process, because when I showed up in Baltimore, I was broken, and I've prayed an ill-advised prayer several times since and asked God to break me again, and He's broken me in different ways. But when I showed up in Baltimore, if I had a grand plan of this is how the kingdom of God, it can change Baltimore, I can tell you I would be probably depressed and hiding and not have any purpose to my life, because I would have given up. But God had to take me to a place that by the time I stepped into Baltimore, I didn't have answers, and I was willing to admit it. I was willing to say, I don't know what God's doing. I don't understand why, but I trust Him because I hear His voice and I feel His hand on me saying, I'm with you in the suffering and in the vulnerability. And because of that, God has begun to do something marvelous. And all the faces that I see in this crowd that I don't know who you are, you're a testament that God has His church and that God knows what He's doing. And that even though I am uncomfortable most of the time because I don't have the answers, and I can't look at somebody and say, oh, just don't worry, this is what's going to happen and this is what we're going to do, but I become content to be a broken vessel that God gets to tell me what to do and when, and because of it, we get to see the glory of God in a way that we would never get to, because I'll tell you a secret, God doesn't share His glory. He doesn't share His glory. If I get credit, He's not getting credit. If I'm getting blame, then I'll take credit. I have to come to the place where I'm just a vessel that's broken. That I'm just a man that I allow God to speak to me. I allow God to pour His word and His spirit and His love into me. And then I walk out, and because I'm broken, His word, His love, His glory drips from my life with every step. And the more I can be broken, the more freely that the glory of God and the love of Jesus and the mercy of Jesus and the power of Jesus can flow through my life. Because let me tell you, if I broke, broken vessels don't get to choose how things come out of them because they're broken. When you pour into a broken vessel, it just starts coming out immediately. And we like to measure it out. I want to come to God on Sunday and be filled with the strength of God and the Spirit of God, and then go out the rest of the week and look at situations and look at people and decide, I guess right now, I'm going to take the time to talk to this individual that needs a need, and I pour out a little bit of the Word of God or a little bit of the love of God. And then when I'm in a hurry, I don't got time, I'll hold it on for later. But when you're spoken, you don't get to choose what comes out and when. And so that means that there's no limitations to the reach of God, because I'm not the one judging when and who gets what God put into me. But all of a sudden, I've got to just allow it to flow through me. But the other thing it does is broken vessels don't stay full very long. So I got to stand right next to God. And I can't get out of step. Because if I'm broken and I get out of step, I run dry fast. You understand what Jesus is trying to do to the church right now? We can't plan COVID. We can't plan a lot of things. You can't plan, and you can't understand why that individual rejected you. But understand that everything can be an opportunity for brokenness, an opportunity to come to Jesus and say, you know what, Jesus? I thought I knew how this was going to work. I thought I knew what was best. And it doesn't mean you were rebellious in it. It doesn't mean that you had ill intentions. But we all honestly and truly think we've got it figured out at times. And whatever that is, that wound in your life, that struggle you're facing, that sickness, that family member that you cannot seem to reconcile, bring it to Jesus and say, let me be broken over this, and realize that I cannot help my family by myself. Let me realize that I don't have the strength in my own body to sustain myself. So let me, God, in this place of brokenness, stay near you where you are continually flowing into me, and where you tell me to walk, because I have one step, I'll be satisfied, and I'll take that one step. And because I'm next to you, you can pour into me, and it comes out the way you want it to come out, and when you want it. That's the design that Jesus has for the church, is he's wanting a church that is broken. He does not want a measured out church. He doesn't want a church with measuring cups in their hands and give a little bit here, a dollop of daisy here, and a dollop of daisy here. I'll give a little bit here and a little bit there, but I got to make sure that I'm comfortable and that I've got this and that there's no inconveniences and there's no hiccups. No, it's a church. We've got to become dependent on the Spirit. We've got to become broken to the place that I do not expect myself to have the answer, and I won't allow myself to have the answer, but I've got to go to Jesus for the answer. So if the Spirit's on me, I say what he tells me to. If I don't have the Spirit on me, I say, I'll get back with you, and I find myself in the presence of God again, calling out to him. When I've got to make a decision for my life and I don't know what to do, I don't just get out Wikipedia and Google and my 12 best friends that don't know Jesus, but I run to Jesus and I pray and I say, I'm not moving until you tell me what to do. I'm going to be like Moses that said, if your spirit doesn't go with me, then I won't go there. I don't care if it's your promises. I'm not going unless you're going with me. I cannot do this alone. I got news for you. If you don't know Jesus today, if you're just starting your walk with Jesus, I'm here to tell you he is the answer. He is the way, the truth, and the life, the scripture says. And no man comes to the Father but by him. We've got to come near to him. I'll tell you how you start and how you end a relationship with Jesus strong. Brokenness. Amen. Brokenness. Brokenness. I think of like
How many pastors and preachers that I've talked to, and for some reason I happen to be the open ear, and everybody wants to tell me what's going on in the struggles. And if I could tell you what, I won't tell you today, but I'll tell you this much, is that there's a sense of helplessness in people as the church. And I'm telling you that that's a close place to the Father, if we'll allow it to be. I'm not talking about hopeless. I'm talking about helpless. I'm talking about dependent. You know, there's hope, and I can be excited, and I can have joy in my life because of brokenness. The brokenness is uncomfortable, but the reality is once I'm broken, it's not so bad anymore, because now I have a fountain of His Spirit that flows in and out, in and out, and it cleans junk out. When I get frustrated, when I'm disappointed, guess what? Because I'm broken and I'm near Jesus, and He's constantly pouring in His Spirit, all of the junk just washes out. All the disappointment, it just washes out. I don't let it build up. But the less I'm broken, the more I hold on to the bitterness, the more I hold on to the wound, the more I hold on to frustration, and I can become angry. I can become discontent. And eventually, if I'm not careful, I'll shake my fist at God. Because I had a plan, and it didn't go my way. Psalms 51, verse 16. You desire not sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. David had sinned, and he had to choose whether he was going to be broken or not. You see, it doesn't matter what walk of life you're in. It doesn't matter what position you are in your relationship with God. There's going to be opportunity to choose to be broken or unbroken. And David had sinned, and he came to the revelation that God, you don't want a sacrifice of an animal. You want a broken and a contrite heart. A broken heart you won't turn away. He had to break himself. He had to come to the place where he no longer held pride in himself, no longer held a high regard of himself that was out of alignment with God's estimation of him. And in that also, he said this, as king of Jerusalem, he said, you, God, do good, your good, to Zion. He realized, God, you do your plan. I'm king of Israel, but God, you do what Israel needs. You do what Jerusalem needs. Because he became broken. And God was able to step in and bring purpose and life back into him. If you'd stand. I think I told you this, but so up until about two months ago, I haven't been able to open my mouth about brokenness except in private conversations. Even though that God's been doing this in me. And I just feel like this is the word of the hour to the church. There's a lot of exciting things to come. There's a lot of exciting things for your life. There's a lot of redemption and healing and outpourings of the Spirit on all flesh that's still to come. But I'm telling you, the limit of that is dependent on the church's willingness to be broken. Because if I measure out, then I am the limit. But if I'm broken, then God is the limit. And He has no limit. And wherever you are in your life as an individual, if you've been trying to earn Jesus, if you've been trying to just come and be a part of the kingdom of God, but yet you felt like you got to have it together and you got to do just the right things at the right time, I'm here to tell you that that's a false reality. The reality is that Jesus is calling us to be broken, to be in that place where we no longer steer the ship. If you've been seeking the Holy Ghost in your life and you've not been filled with the Spirit yet, I'm going to tell you the key is brokenness. The key is coming to a place where in your prayer, all that matters is what God wants to do at that moment. It's not my idea of what I think God wants to do. It's not what I want God to do. It's not my own way, but it's God. I'm here and I want you to pour out of yourself into me. Whatever you want, I'm available because I want your plans for my life. And I promise you that when you and I come to that kind of a place, that's when the Spirit of God flows into us. He's looking for open hearts and broken vessels. And if you got crud in your life and junk and bitterness or disappointment that is looming over you, I challenge you to do the unthinkable and to ask God to break you, because I'm telling you, it will change your life and it will change those around you. It's not popular. It's not fun, but it's necessary, and it brings the flow of the joy of God into your life. There's nothing like realizing that I don't have to hold this together myself anymore. I don't know about you. How many of you been? You don't have to raise your hand. In fact, I hope you don't. But how many of you feel like you got to hold your family together? You're got to be the strong one that will power this family to work. You're the one that you've got to be strong even though you're sick. How many of you feel like you've got to make sure that your family's provided for? I'm not telling you to not care. I'm telling you to lose this idea that is the lie of the century, the lie of all of humanity, that somehow each and every one of us has the ability in us to hold together our lives, that we have the ability to hold together this world, that somehow if we could get together, we could solve world hunger, we could solve the hurting of every soul on this planet. I'm telling you that I can be a vessel, but I can't do it. I'm telling you I can't fix Joaquin's family. I can't fix Sherry. I can't fix anybody. I can only be a vessel that I say, God, I surrender and I'll be broken before you, because God, you alone hold the answers. You alone are the healer. You alone are the sustainer. You alone are the savior. You alone are the strength of my life. Only you, Jesus, can satisfy. You are the joy of my salvation. And just see what God will do with a broken life. I invite you to find a place to pray. I'm going to pray a prayer. And as I'm praying, I just ask you to find a place in your life, and find a place in your heart, and find a place in this building, a position where you can let God become God of everything in your life again. Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that this congregation would be filled with hope today, God, that you, Jesus, can hold it together, and that there would be, oh God, a willingness to let
you be God in our lives, to be broken, Jesus. I've been disappointed. God, I don't know what to do all the time. But, oh God, it's been a beautiful place to learn to live. Because, God, there is nothing outside of your reach. There's nothing outside of your wisdom. There's nothing outside of your strength. There's nothing outside of your mercy. And so today, God, I'm asking you, oh Lord God, to allow us to be broken before you, God, so that out of our lives can flow in freedom of the Spirit all that you desire, God. I depend on you. I'm going to reach into your presence, and I'm going to stand next to you, God, and I'm going to let you tell me what to do. And even if I don't see it, I'm going to believe it. Even if I don't understand it, I'm going to embrace it. Even if I don't know in the next two steps, I'll take the one you tell me, God. I want to be broken before you, God. This is not my church. This is your church. This is not my life. It's your life. It's not my family. It's your family, God. You hold it all together, God. So I surrender to you in the name of Jesus. Let surrender flow, oh God, in this place, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. You're the author of my faith, and you're the finisher of my faith. You hold it all.